Alright, so Lamaise, it's almost Purim, so we have to make achanas. So before every Yontif, what we try to do at least is have a shir that could take the ideas of that Yontif, which maybe, you know, are flying in outer space a little bit, and make it Lamaise, to concretize it. And of all the Yom Tovim to do that, Purim is very, very important. You know, Purim is a day that, obviously we all know the mitzvahs that we have to fulfill. You have to read the Megillah, Mishlech Manas, Matanas of Yoinim, the Suda, Adwayada. And so, but it's a busy day, and a person can get lost in just the, you know, just the Zachem that you have to take care of. So it's important to know what exactly the Kavan is to have. All right. So, but in order to sort of prepare ourselves to understand a little bit of what the kavanas would be throughout Purim, you have to lay a foundation. Okay, so you have to lay the yisoid, and then from there we'll bring it down l'maisa. So when we talk about the yisoid, the fundamental idea that we're going to try to bring out over here, it's going to sound still theoretical and still himmeldic. Okay, but you got to trust. I'll lay the foundation, and then l'maisa we'll bring it down b'poil. All right, we'll begin like this. A few questions. You know, it says in Megillah, Hayom me'elu niskarim v'nasim, that these days of Purim should be celebrated, should be commemorated and celebrated, b'kol shana v'shana, every single year. So the Gemara Megillah darshins that b'kol shana v'shana means that Purim has to be kept the same every single year. In other words, says the Gemara, just like the average year, there's only one Adar, which means there's only one Purim. So too, even on Ibrayar, when there's a leap year, it's also only one Purim. Which means, says the Gemara, means that you have to pick one of the Adars to establish Purim. So which one do you do? So says the Gemara, the way we paskin, and it applies this year in particular, obviously, is that masmich gula l'geula, that we choose Purim to be an Adar Sheni, because we want to connect. It's like it's more organized. The year is more organized if we connect the geula, the redemption of Purim, redemption of Pesach. You know, we're in gula mode, so you go from Purim to Pesach. It's very, very nice, and it's mesudar instead of having a break in the middle. So Purim is an Adar Sheni. Okay, that's the Gemara. That's why paskin. Now the truth is, Achronim ask a question. We know that whenever you're dealing with a situation, I'm not sure what to do, when to do something. One of the rules that we have in Torah is Rizim Magdim LaMitzvahs. So that means that you have a mitzvah of fulfilling Purim, and the first opportunity you have it is Adar Rishon. So Rizim Magdim LaMitzvahs should tell you to be Makayim Mitzvah of Purim, an Adar Rishon. Yet the inyan of being masmich gula gula, of going from Purim into Pesach, is so strong and it's so important that we'll sacrifice Rizim Magdim L'mitzvahs to masmich gula gula. So Achronim ask, what is this? What's the inyan of being masmich gula gula, that dafka, what somehow Purim is better because it's right before Pesach, Pesach is better because it's after Purim? What's the shaykhis between those two holidays? What's this inyan of being masmich gula gula? And as I said, that's something that's a theoretical idea, but this year it's mamish, you know, it becomes a b'poil. Okay, that's question number one. Question number two. It says in the Megillah that Mordechai and Esther sent out the Megillah, you know, they wrote the Megillah Esther, they sent it out, and they established the inyan of every single year, the Jewish people reading the Megillah, and the Pasuk describes the reading of the Megillah as called Toikif. That the reading of the Megillah that we're responsible to do every Purim is to read the Toikif, the, I don't know how to translate the Tzimzach, the essence, the point. So it's a funny thing. Let me just say, you read the Megillah. No, you don't read the Megillah. You read the Taikif. You read the point of the Megillah. So the Gemara in Megillah tells us, based on that, that the truth is that all one has to read to fulfill the mitzvah of Megillah, of Mikra Megillah, is the Taikif, is the point, is the Tzimzach. So what is the Taikif, though? So the Gemara gives a whole bunch of opinions, the point of what, the essence of what. So, for example, one opinion is that what you're reading about is the essence of the point that is the greatness of Mordechai. And according to that opinion, all you have to read from is Ishiyu Dihai B'Shushan Abirishma Mordechai from there to the end. Another opinion of the Gemara is that what you have to read about is Takfai Shal Haman. You have to read about the inyan of Haman. The essence, the point of the story is the Haman part. So then you have to read from Bayam Haim Gidel HaMelech HaChashresh Has Haman Ben Amdas. So from there to the end. One opinion is that you have to read it Takfei Shol Neis, that you have to read the part of the Megillah which gets to the point of the miracle. And what is that? That's Belailo Hu Nadash Nas HaMelech, when HaChashresh couldn't fall asleep and he has them read to him the Sefer Zichronos V'chulu. That's the Taikif. And what we hold is like Reb Meir, which is that the taikif, the point that you have to read about, is taikif shel Achashverosh. The strength, the point, is the story of Achashverosh, which begins from Bayim Me'Achashverosh. So practically, that's what we hold. Which means that practically speaking, you read the whole Megillah. But you're not reading the whole Megillah because you have to read the whole Megillah. You read the whole Megillah because all you have to read is the point. But it happens to be the point that you have to read about is the point of Achashverosh, which Lamaisa encompasses the entire Megillah. So there's two questions with this. First of all, what's this inyan that all we have to read about is the taikev, the point? What, you have to read the Megillah? No, you don't have to read the backdrop. You don't have to read the hachanas, the introductions. You just have to read about the taikev, the point. That's all you have to read about. So it's a pella. What is this inyan? That's number one. But number two, amongst the opinions that, you know, of the different opinions in the Gemara of what you have to read, they all sort of agree to each other that there's different taikifs, there's different points. It's just that they disagree with what point you have to be reading about. But everyone agrees to the following point, which is that what is the taikif of the nes? What's the place in the Haggadah, in the Megillah, that the nes really begins, which is like the essence of the nes? So that, the opinion of the Gemara is Rishon Baruch Chai said the taikif of the nes is B'lai Lahu Nadash Nasa Melech. So the truth is, even though we don't hold like that opinion, and you have to read the Megillah from the beginning, but we do emphasize that pasuk because we recognize it being the beginning of the nes. And what do we do? So it's brought down from the Maharil, the early Ashkenazim, that the Maharil says that the minig is that when the Malkari says B'lai Lahu Nadash Nasa Melech, Magbiya Kaila, he raises his voice. He says it louder than the other psukim, because as the Gemara says, this is the toikif of the nes. This is like mamish the spitz nes. This is what's happening over here. So the question is, again, one question was, why is it that we only have to read whatever it is that we're reading about, whether it be Achashverosh's storyline, Haman's storyline, Mordechai, or the nes's storyline? All we're reading about is the toikif of that storyline. So what's this inyan of toikif b'chlal? But another question is, if we had to pinpoint the moment of the nes, I don't know if we would think Belila who is that point. We would think the moment when Haman is hanged, or when Achashverosh is willing to hear Esther out when she goes into the Heichal HaMelech. Belila who nadash nasa melech. Okay, so why? What is it about that pasuk that sort of hits the nail on the head of that? That's the nes, and also, again, I don't know if it's a big question, but why do we need to commemorate or to emphasize, to highlight that point with raising one's voice? What's it, raising one's voice of all the things that we can do? I don't know. What's the sin of raising one's voice? Okay. Fine. Those are the questions. One of the more odd mitzvahs of Purim, the more paladic mitzvahs of Purim, and it's actually a later chiv. It's not mentioned in the Megillah. It's not from the Nevi'im. It's a later takan of Chazal, which is Omer Rava. Rava said, Chai v'nishal b'sumbe b'puraya, b'puraya ad lo yada b'nar ha'lam baruch Mordechai. The person has to drink on Purim till they don't know the difference between baruch Mordechai or Haman. All right, so what's the pnimius of that inyan? So I'll share with you what it says in the Kisvei Ari, then we'll try to translate it for ourselves. So it's like this. The Rizal says, and I'm not going to try to explain this point right now, but just this is the aside. The Rizal says that contained, for anything to exist, it has to have a spark of Hashem's presence. It has to be a nitzitz of Kedusha. If there's no spark of Hashem's presence in something, the thing doesn't exist. Everything has to have a spark. Says the Rizal, non-believable thing, is that not only is true for everything that's physical, that's not only true for anything spiritual, that's true even for evil itself. Even Ra, for it to exist, has to have a spark of Kedusha. Now, usually, says the Rizal, a spark of Kedusha that's contained in evil itself, a nitzitz of Kedusha that's in our Haman, is not something that we're able to approach, not something that we're able or allowed to engage with. Our job is to stay away from Ra. If we do our Avoida with the Torah mitzvahs, then the Rabbanu Shalom does his part, which is that he'll eradicate Ra, right? And then once evil is eradicated, we'll be able to then find those sparks of Kedusha, you know, in when all the dust settles. But to engage with Ra, to try to approach the spark of Kedusha within it, that we're not allowed to do. Says the Rizal, one exception to that is Purim. Doesn't mean Chasim to do an Avera, but it means, said the Rizal, that when a person drinks on Purim, in the Bechin of Ad Lo Yada, whatever that is to be a kind, whatever that means, different shittas, but whatever Ad Lo Yada means, says the Rizal, at that moment when you're in that place of Ad Lo Yada, then at that moment you have the right and the responsibility to somehow engage and to give chiyas and to connect the sparks of Kedusha that are contained within evil itself. Whereas the evil is not by the Suda, you know what I mean? But whatever this, the dimension of the Sitra Achra, wherever that is, inside and out, there's sparks of Kedusha there. And despite the regular rule, which means that you never engage with Ra, even for the purposes of finding that spark, we don't engage with Ra. But on Purim, when the Bechin of Ad Lo Yada, then that's called finding the Bechin of Baruch Mordechai, even within our home. So it's Ad Lo Yada ben Aram Baruch Mordechai. That's the reason. Okay. So I saw from the Lubavitch Rebbe that in one of his memoirs, he said the following Nakuda. And really, this is going to be really the point of where we'll begin to unravel what we're going to talk about. There's a Gemara Megillah. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Vav Mebeis, says like this. Yeah, this is recording.
It's gone?
Yeah. Yeah, we're good. Oh, you're doing it? Yeah, it's okay. So it's like this. So the Gemara says in Megillah like this. Again, you don't have this in front of you, but just a couple lines. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said, "Im Reisa Rasha." If you see a Rasha who is being Matzliach, who is in full strength, everything is going well for this Rasha, Altas Garabai, don't start up with him. You stay away. That's Rabbi Yitzchak. And he quotes a pasuk, Altas Garabim Reim. Says the Gemara, Eini, I have a kasha. We have another statement. Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Rishon Bar Yochai. Mutul esgaras b'Rishon Boil Maaza. You should start up with Rishoyim in this world. You should. You can. So mutul esgaras b'Rishon Boil Maaza. So it's a stira. Rabbi Yitzchak says stay away from Rishoyim. Rishon Bar Yochai says you should engage with them. In other words, not to fight with them and so on. So says the Gemara. The Gemara goes to a shakvat tarya. Says the Gemara. Ibai Sema. Here's the answer. Like Kasha. Habit tzadik gomer. Habit tzadik she'ena gomer. If you're a tzaddik, she'ena gomer, an incomplete tzaddik, then Rabbi Yitzchak is talking about you, and he says, "Al tischar, don't start up with Rishayim." If you're a tzaddik gomer, Rishon Baruch Hu is talking about you, and then, adarabah, mutu l'skars Rishayim, you should start up with them. So the Baba Treva said like this, he said that if usually, again, the rule is, like the Arizal said, whenever there's Ra, we don't engage with Ra. Even if there's a spark of Kedusha, you stay away. Because in the average time, even if you're a tzaddik, you assume that you're a tzaddik she'ena gomer. As a tzaddik she'ena gomer, so you can't start up with Rishayim, you can't start up with Ra. What's the site of Ad L'Yada? The site of Ad L'Yada is that the moment of Ad L'Yada, you're bechinas tzaddik gomer. And as a tzaddik gomer, says the Gemara, mutul esgaras, then you should start up. You can engage. You can find that spark and to engage with it, despite the fact that the Ra, the evil, is still betaykev. So which means an unbelievable thing. Which means that the way the Rebbe is putting it together is that, everyone knows you park in the parking lot, that you're a tzaddik. But the question is, are you a tzaddik she'ena gomer or a tzaddik gomer? The site of Purim is that every yid is a tzaddik gomer. And because you're a tzaddik gomer, so mutul l'skaras b'Rishayim, so you can engage with Ra, you could find the Baruch Mordechai even within the Arham. Adkan. Okay, so we have to understand this. So what does that mean exactly? So what's the difference between a tzaddik gomer and a tzaddik she'ena gomer? Because that's going to be the way to unravel the secret of Purim a little bit. What does it mean to be a tzaddik she'ena gomer, tzaddik gomer? All right, so let me break down the following idea, and then we'll see where it takes us. I'll give you a mashal. This is an idea that we find in Chabad Chassidus. It's a very fundamental idea. So those that have a shtickle background, then you'll know right away what I'm talking about. Okay, but I'll do the best I can. I was trying to think earlier before I came here, what's a good mushel for this? I'm still struggling, okay, but I'll try. Let's say you have, in school, so you have different grades, right? So you have first grade, second grade, eighth grade, 12th grade, Let's say, so if you want to know, where you're holding, there's madrigas, right? In school, there's madrigas. There's one madriga that's called first grade all the way till 12th grade in college and so on. So conceptually, in order for someone to say that they're in 12th grade, or for someone to say that they're in 8th grade, whatever it is, it means there has to be at least a concept of first grade. That's the way it is, right? If there was no such thing as first grade, then there's no such thing as 8th grade. So there's a certain spectrum, there's a certain maroch and infrastructure that both, the graduating class and the entrance level class are both on. And you can't fundamentally be on the top unless there's a metzias of the bottom. This is the way it is. And because of that infrastructure, so if you want to, again, like I said, so if you want to say that you're in eighth grade, it means that there has to be a first grade. If there's no first grade, there's no eighth grade. Now, it doesn't have to be a first grade in that school, but at least the concept of first grade has to be. It's the way it is. Now, here's the idea. Whenever you have two things that are within the same system, then something strange takes place. They need each other, but they also can't coexist at the same moment. Because eighth grade is the top, let's give them as an example. Eighth grade's the top and first grade's on the bottom. So again, on the one hand, they're bound to each other. You can't have eighth grade unless you have first grade. But and paradoxically, because they're part of the same structure and they both recognize each other, so to speak, so therefore they both can't be in the same class. So ironically, in order for there to be an eighth grade, you need a first grade. But at the same time, because they're both part of the same structure, you can't have an eighth grade and first grader sitting in the same classroom together. You can't have the same class teaching eighth grade material and first grade material. You just can't do it. However, if you have some, but that's all because the top, which is the eighth, and the bottom, which is first, are of the same ilk. They're of the same structure. They're of the same system. And because they're of the same system, they ironically need each other, but they can't coexist at the very same moment. So too it is with good and evil, at least within the world of tzaddik she'ena gomer. A tzaddik, who's a tzaddik she'ena gomer? Again, we're talking about a tzaddik gomer, we'll talk about it in a minute, but a tzaddik she'ena gomer, an incomplete tzaddik, what does it mean to be an incomplete tzaddik? I mean, incomplete tzaddik means that the tzaddik looks at himself in the mirror and says, well, top of the food chain. Top of the food chain. Tzaddik she'ena gomer, a baal madrega, a baalas madrega, in our, let's say, the mashal, eighth grade, or 12th, you know, 12th grade, whatever the top class is. But here's the irony and the paradox. In order for the tzaddik to be defined as a tzaddik, there has to be something that's called evil in his life. There has to be at least the potential of Ra. Ra has to be on the radar. If there's no such thing as Ra, then by its very definition, he can't define himself as Toif. Because what's good? Not bad. What's bad? Not good. They're both within the same structure. They're both within the same context. They're both speaking the same language. They're both part of the same hierarchy. And because of that, just like in eighth grade, you cannot be in eighth grade unless there's a concept of first grade. You can't be a tzaddik unless there's a concept of evil, of rishis. And, ironically, because they're of the same structure, therefore they both good and evil, therefore cannot both sort of coexist, and they cannot both take up space in that person's life. The tzaddik, whenever you have, see, I'll give an example. You know, when you have two things that are of the same type, automatically there's no room for both in the same spot. If you have two things that are physical, you have a chair, two chairs. So because they're of the same species, so to speak, they're of the same material, both physical, then they can't fit in the same spot. But did any of you ever sit down and feel like a little bit uncomfortable because there's too many malachim around? No. Why is it that you and a malach don't, jostle for the same spot? The answer is because you're not of the same system. You're not of the same infrastructure. It's dafka two things that are of the same species, of the same infrastructure, that they can't, then they push each other aside. They can't both be in control at the same time. So either this spot is taken by this chair, or it's taken by that chair. Either this spot is taken by this person or that person. But the same spot can be taken by one person and a malach. Because a malach and a person are different than yonim. There's different, there's bechlal, different inyan. So too it is with the inyan of good and evil. When you're talking about good and evil, and you're talking about good being within the same realm as evil, within the same structure as evil, it's just that good means the top, and evil means the bottom. So it's an eighth grade versus a first grade. So on the one hand, this is the irony and the paradox. On the one hand, the tzaddik is only a tzaddik because there is at least a concept of evil to compare himself to. But because they're of the same species, of the same inyan, therefore they can't both, the good and evil, therefore cannot coexist at the same in the same heart. They cannot take hold of the same heart at the same time. The person is therefore has to make a choice. Am I good or am I bad? Because good and bad in this person's system are both part of the same structure. It's just that good is one extreme, bad is the other extreme. So they can't both be in control. There's only one heart. So what is this heart full of? Is it full of good or is it full of not good? And that choice that needs to be made, good or bad, is because good and bad is of the same structure. And because it's of the same structure, like two chairs or two people, they can't both coexist at the same time. That's all the inyan of what it means to be a tzaddik she'ena gomer. This is why the Baal Tanya in Sefer Tanya, when he talks about a tzaddik she'ena gomer, he describes an incomplete tzaddik as a tzaddik. He has another term in Chazal that he connects it with, which is called a tzaddik v'raloi. What does it mean, a tzaddik v'raloi? Tzaddik v'raloi, in the Tanya's language, means a tzaddik who the concept of evil exists by the tzaddik. And what defines him as a tzaddik is the fact that he's not evil. And since his inyan of ra, his inyan of tzidkis, is the fact that he's the top of the ladder and not the bottom of the ladder, that means the top of the ladder and bottom of the ladder are of the same structure, which means that ironically and paradoxically, his definition is, he's defined as a tzaddik because of him in comparison to the potential of ra, and because of that, his heart could only be one of the two. He has to therefore choose good. His heart has to be good. He can't have both at the same time. This is called a tzaddik she'ena gomer. What does it mean, a tzaddik gomer? A tzaddik gomer is something else. A tzaddik gomer is where the goodness of that tzaddik is not just the top of the ladder. The tzidkis, the greatness of that tzaddik, is not just that he's eighth grade and he's not first grade. He's good compared to that. The tzidkis, the righteousness, the goodness of a tzaddik gomer is what's called in Chassidus, l'malo miseder shtalshlus. It's of a completely different category b'chlal. The greatness of the tzaddik gomer is not that, you know, listen, if he doesn't do averis, or she doesn't do averis, and compared to the bottom of the barrel, he's the bottom of the food chain, he's the top of the food chain. It's a completely different madrigo altogether. Mm-hmm. It's, again, like I said before, comparing a human being to a malach. It's not the same type, it's just one's greater than the other. If you're dealing with two that are the same species, just one is greater than the other, then again, like I said, one needs the other for comparison purposes, and they both can't coexist in the same moment and the same spot. A tzaddik gomer means that his greatness is not—it's not of the same structure of this world. It's not coming from the same place as that infrastructure of the tzaddik she'ena gomer. It's coming from something completely different, completely otherworldly. Again, and therefore, because of that, his greatness is not defined based on comparing himself or herself to the Russia. And therefore it's not coming, therefore it also doesn't, him and the Russia are also not vying for the same spot. It's like the human being and the Malach, they're not fighting over the same spot. What does this have anything to do with Purim? So let me explain. Everyone knows that on Purim, one of the great chiddush of the miracle. Let's talk about God's side of Purim for a second, then we'll talk about our avodah, but the Rabbanu Shalom. Everyone knows that what makes Purim unique over every other holiday, and how the Rabbanu Shalom helped us on Purim over any other time, is that every other holiday there was such a thing as nature, there was a gullus, whatever the situation was, and the Rabbanu Shalom comes and saves the day with nisim and neflois, nisim and neflois. Mashenkin Purim, everyone knows Purim was not like that. There was no nisim and neflois. Teva, nature itself, was unaffected. Nature kept on going. Just within nature, the Rabbanu Shalom like worked within nature. Let's try to be mom. Let's think about that for a second. Whenever you have, let's compare Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? Yetzias Mitzrayim is obviously full of miracles. The nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim when the Rabbanu Shalom saved us from Egypt, the natural order of things was that we were stuck in Mitzrayim, and the Rabbanu Shalom had to come and save us. How do you do that? When he came into the world, so to speak, Teva fell apart. It interrupted the natural order of things. Whereas Purim wasn't like that. It didn't interrupt nature. So which revelation was greater? Which revelation was greater? So on a Pashto level, which revelation was greater? Certainly Hashem's presence on Pesach was that's Mamish Nisim Guyim. But the answer is, let's understand. Do you know why why was nature disrupted by the revelation of Pesach? The reason why nature was disrupted by the revelation of Pesach is because the revelation of Pesach was of the same infrastructure as nature itself. It's just that the revelation of Pesach was the top of the ladder, and nature is the bottom of the ladder. And so they're vying for the same position, which is like, who's going to take control of today? So nature says, I want to take control. And the Rabbanu Shalom said, no. Now the eighth grader is taking control of the day. So the level of Hashem's presence, which was manifest, which made itself known on Pesach, was by its very definition a level of revelation which is still part of this world. It's still part of the infrastructure of this world. It's just the highest level of revelation that could be of this world. And because it's still part of this world, because of that, it therefore has to disrupt the nature of this world, because they can't both coexist. Just like two chairs can't take up the same spot, and two people can't take up the same spot. So the miracles of Pesach, the revelation of Pesach, and the nature of this world cannot coexist at the same time. Why? Because the revelation of Pesach was still of this world. It was still of a finite, relatively structured revelation of God's presence, albeit top of the ladder. And this is why not only does that mean that the revelation of Pesach had to disrupt the nature of Teva, because again, it's only one spot, so it's either an eighth grade class or a first grade class. You can't have both. But because of that, it was also fundamentally incomplete. Nature, at the end of the day, remains, like once Kriyas Yamsov is over, everything goes back the way it was. Why? Because by its very definition, an eighth grade needs first grade. You can't have the complete breakdown of nature when what's being revealed is still within the same infrastructure of this world. Again, just like you can't fundamentally, there can't be such a thing as eighth grade without there being a first grade. So therefore, fundamentally, Pesach cannot be a full redemption, because the very rules of nature which dictated the Jewish people being in exile could not be fundamentally broken. They couldn't be fundamentally broken. Because again, nature means the first grade. The revelation of Pesach, so to speak, is like eighth grade. And you can't have eighth grade. So even after the eighth grader takes the spot, there still has to be a concept of a first grade. Maybe a different spot, a different day. But there has to be, it cannot be the undermining of nature itself. So when we talk about Hashem's revelation, when it's miraculous, even though it's amazing and it's like shocking, but fundamentally, it's Bechinas Tzadik She'en Agam. It's Bechinas Tzadik She'en Agam. That revelation of Pesach is of the same species. It's of the same maracha. It's of the same ilk as nature itself. It's just an unbelievably high, divine level of nature, but it's still within nature. And because of that, it disrupts nature. And because of that, it can't fundamentally get rid of nature long term, because it's of the same species. That's all Pesach, and that's all Shavuos and Sukkot, all the other Yom Tov. Comes Purim. And what's the Nes of Purim? The Nes of Purim, the Rabbanu Shalom helped us and protected us within the infrastructure of nature itself. Why is that? What were the mechanics of that? The revelation of Hashem's presence on Purim was a bechina of what's called by the Sfarim l'malam yisedur shtalshos, above the order of this world. A completely different level of revelation of God's presence. Such a different level that it's of a different species altogether of Hashem's presence in the normal setting of life. And because it was from a different structure altogether, a different place, a different madrega, completely shloilefi erech, not in proportion at all to the regular rules of this world. That's why you didn't have to break the rules of this world. Just like I said, just like you don't have to feel, just like a malach and a person can fit in the same spot. They're of different species. So what side of God was revealed? Which side of the Rabbanu Shalom is deeper? The side of God that was revealed on Purim, or the side of God that was revealed in Ever the Yontif? The answer is, without a question, Purim. The Vaharaya, and the proof of that is, what? Is that it didn't have to undermine Teva. Because since it didn't have to undermine Teva, that means that it was not 8th grade versus 1st grade. It was altogether a different inyan. And if it's altogether a different inyan, then it doesn't have to disrupt the normal order of things. This is also why Pesach is forever. The Rambam says, the end of Hilchos Megillah, everyone knows, the Gemara Yerushalmi, it's going to be forever. There's something about Purim, which is a yontif, that even when you celebrate it now, you celebrate it now knowing that the iris of Purim are everlasting. Everlasting. Whereas Pesach is not like that. When you keep Pesach and when you keep Shavuos and Sukkot, you know mitchila that after yontif, everything goes back to normal. Like, you know mitchila by Pesach, that after Pesach is over, the Yom Tov goes back to regular. Why? Because even the revelation of Pesach could not completely change the world. It could not. Because it's still part of this infrastructure of the world. And you can't only have 8th grade. You have to, in order to have 8th grade, you have to have 1st grade. It's just you can't have 1st grade and 8th grade at the same day, but they both have to exist. So the revelation of Pesach, which is Bechinas like 8th grade, could not fundamentally make everything just 8th grade. It couldn't be everlasting. It, by its very definition, was a non-forever redemption. But Purim, when you keep the Yontif of Purim, then you know that this day is forever. Which means that even after Purim, it's not over. This is why, you know, the minig by Chassidim, and it's not just by Chassidim, by most of Klal Yisrael, except for the Sfaradish Mekubalim have a minig now like that. But by most Yidden, when we have the Sudas Purim, it's usually done towards the end of the day, going into the next day. Right? So it's a strange dach. Why would that be? So again, so there's all different explanations given in the Sfarim, maybe because you want to connect to Shushan Purim. But the truth is, even Yidden that are in Yerushalayim, they do that too. So the answer is because that's the secret of Purim. The secret of Purim is Zichram la Yosef Mizaram, that the Uris of Purim exist equally Matzi Purim as they do Purim itself. You have to do the mitzvah. In other words, here's the idea. When you do the mitzvahs of Purim, you're not just accomplishing and being poiled something for that day. You're activating something that continues on until the next year, and the next year it increases till the next year, and then it increases even more. Because why is that? Because the whole nature of Purim is shloi lefi erech. It is not part of the infrastructure. The revelation of the Rabbanu Shalom is so deep and so profound. The infinity, the Rabbanu Shalom revealed himself on Purim to be Ein Sof. And Ein Sof is not just bigger than finite. It's of completely different level. And because it's of a completely different level, so therefore it doesn't need to interfere with nature in order to exist. And it doesn't, and because of that, it could always be. It doesn't have to then, they don't have to take turns. Again, with two chairs, they have to take turns. Now, today is your time, tomorrow is my time. But when we're talking about Purim, when we're talking about a revelation of Ein Sof, it's altogether different. This is what it's called a tzaddik gomer. A tzaddik gomer, as I said, going back to a person, is a level of greatness where it's shloi lefi erech, it's disproportionate to what's natural and what's normal. A tzaddik she'ena gomer, an incomplete tzaddik, means that within the normal, rules and regulations of finite limitations of people, he's the top of the food chain. But when we're talking about a tzaddik gomer, we're talking about someone whose entire inyan, his entire madrigas, is shalei lefi erech. It's infinite compared to finite. And because of that, the irony of the tzaddik gomer is that because of that, he can coexist at the same moment with the Rasha. Says the Gemara Megillah, who is able to engage with the Rasha? What type of tzaddik can actually be in the same spot as a Rasha and be able to be handle it and actually find the spark of Kedusha within the Rasha? Says the Gemara, not the tzaddik she'ena gomer. The tzaddik she'ena gomer, the incomplete tzaddik, It's the same. Him and the Rasha, ironically, are of the same species. And because they're of the same species, they can't both take up the same spot. So either you're a tzaddik or you're a Rasha. You can't be both. But says the Gemara, but if you're a tzaddik gamur, then you're altogether a different inyan. And if you're a different inyan, ironically, you can take up the same spot as the Rasha. So this is the idea. So in other words, what comes out is that the yisoid that we're saying is that the yisoid of Purim is a revelation that's called Shleilufi Erech, Lamal Miseder Shtalshlos, completely deeper and transcendent than the normal infrastructure of this world. There's the infrastructure of this world, which the bottom is evil and the top is good. And then there's Purim. And then there's a revelation of good, of godliness, that's called Purim, that's completely different. This is why, let's go back for a second. This is why was it, like we said in the Gemara, that the halacha is by Mikra Megillah, you have to read Taikif. Why? Like the point, why? You know what Taikif means? Taikif means, usually when you say a story, you plot it out, there's the beginning, and you're leading up something, and you explain the cause and explanation of it, until you finally get to the point. But that whole idea of plotting it step by step by step means infrastructure. It means hishtalshlus. It means a set path, bottom to the top. But the whole site of Purim is that you're not trying to get to the top from the bottom. You're altogether connected to something that's different. You're not part of the ladder altogether. You're not trying. In other words, what does it mean to say saying a story means that first I start with step one, and then that's first grade, and then eventually I get to eighth. That's not the infrastructure of Purim. That's the infrastructure of Pesach, right? What do we do on Pesach? We gad labincha, etchil ardei vadizor aviseinu. You say exactly the beginning. You start from the beginning, and then you eventually work your way to the point. But Purim, we don't start from the beginning. We don't want to do that. We want to just say the point right away, because the site of Purim, Pesach, with all of the Yom Tovim that are revolving around Pesach and so on, is what? Is Seder Ishtalshlus. That's within the infrastructure. And you're trying to get to the top of the ladder. To get to the top of the ladder, you have to start from the bottom of the ladder. And you can't have Yitzias Mitzrayim unless you recognize Golas Mitzrayim. You can't have Har Sinai unless you recognize in the beginning we were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So ironically, they both, you can't be standing in Har Sinai and be Ovdei Avodah Zarah at the same time. But Lamaisa, you can't have a Har Sinai unless there was a past of Avodah Zarah. But comes Purim, no. Purim is Toikif. Purim is Tzimzach by itself. We're not trying to get somewhere. It's Bechlal different Maracha. Let's explain also, based on this, why is it that the Toikif of the Nes was Belailahu? What's Belailahu, isn't it? At that night, Achashverosh couldn't sleep. You know what happened? You see over there? What's the time where a person is awake? That's during the day. What's the time where a person is asleep? At night. To be awake at night. To be awake at night means two opposites coexisting at the same time. It means the wakefulness of the king was not stared by the darkness of the time that was around him. That's reflective of what was going on in Shemayim. What was going on in Shemayim is a revelation of goodness, of godliness, that was completely oblivious to the darkness around it. Why was it oblivious to the darkness around it? Because it was a light that was not, that's not defined as light because it's not dark. It's of a completely different structure. It's a completely different inyan. Chazal say that in the beginning of creation, the Ribbono Shel Olam made the light, and it was the light and darkness were mishtamsha and barbovia, were all mixed up together. Until the Ribbono Shel Olam said, okay, let's separate the two. Well, what type of funny thing is that? So Pasha, we think of that, Hashem made light. Light and dark were just mixed up, and Hashem just like sifted it out. No. That original matziv of light and dark being mixed up together, a light that can coexist with darkness is altogether a different type of light. When the Ribbono Shel Olam then separated light and dark, it means that he lowered the standards of light. And he said, okay, that light that is able to coexist with darkness, I'm not going to reveal in the world. The light that I'm going to reveal in the world is a light that cannot coexist with darkness. But ironically, a light that cannot coexist with darkness is a light that's of the same maracha, that's of the same system as darkness. The light of Pesach is a light that is Choshech v'Or Mishtamshim Barbovia. So let's go back. So based on this, so what's the avoid of Pesach, of Purim? What's the avoid? So let's now after all of that, halach l'maisa. So Purim begins, there's Hashem, and you read the Megillah. So what should a person be thinking about when you read the Megillah? When you read the Megillah, the avoid is to think about this yisayid, which is that we don't have Nisan Goyim anymore, we don't have open miracles. We don't have open miracles anymore. It's been a long time. Okay? And therefore what we have right now nowadays is the Rabbanu Shalom protecting us behind the scenes. Behind the scenes, within nature, within the infrastructure of this world, without disrupting orders, without disrupting anything. That's what Megillas Esther is about. The avoid is to recognize and to remember that is not the Rabbanu Shalom. That is a much deeper God. A much deeper God. I have a much deeper relationship with the Rabbanu Shloilam than my ancestors had when they were being taken out of Mitzrayim. My ancestors that saw Nisim Geluyim by Beis HaMikdash, I have a deeper relationship with the Rabbanu Shloilam than they did. Because they were celebrating, their relationship with God was what? Was a God that was still within the infrastructure of this world. And because of that, when he revealed himself, he had to disrupt this world. But my relationship with God, the God that I relate to, is a God that's so deep, that's so profound, that's so Ein Sof, that he doesn't have to disrupt this world in order to reveal himself. So this, when you're reading the Megillah, the Avodah is to celebrate the depth of your hiskashrus with Ein Sof, that the Rabbanu Shalom is so deeply bound to you and so deeply attached to you and so deeply protective of you, greater and even more so than your ancestors that saw Nisim Gluyim. That's the simcha of Mikra Megillah. And then you move on a little bit to the rest of the day. You know, in the Kisvari by the Rashash especially, we find this thing in that the mitzvahs of Purim are divided into two camps. There's two categories. There's Mikra Megillah, which the tikkunim and the kavanas of Mikra Megillah are what the Arizal calls in pnimius. And then there's Shalach Manas, the Sud, and so on, which is whatever Mikra Megillah was in pnimius, Shalach Manas and Sudas Purim is in Chitzainis. So what does it mean, Chitzainis, pnimius versus Chitzainis in our context? So pnimius in our context, like I just said, by Mikra Megillah is God. God is pnimius. So when you're talking about Mikra Megillah and the Kavanah of Mikra Megillah, means that you're celebrating the fact that you, more so than any other previous generation, because understand, as the generations go on further and further, the darkness becomes that much more intense, right? Which means that the Rabbanu Shalom is still protecting us and operating in thicker and thicker darkness. Which means that as the years go by, the level of light and the level of Ein Sof becomes that much more intense. Because to the degree of darkness, to that much, and without it being disrupted. So every year the darkness increases and it's still not being interrupted by Hashem's presence. That's an indicator of how much more deeply Hashem's presence is in the world than the year before. You know, this is the site of Megillas Esther, that Yerides HaDoris, the fact that there's more darkness is actually an indicator of how deeply God's presence is even more in the world than it was in the previous year. And when you're reading the Megillah, it's to mechazik your faith and to be even besimcha over the fact that it's dafka because I am now in a darker year than I was last year. That's all the more reason and all the more proof and all the more cause of the fact that Hashem is even more deeply in my life than ever before. Because if God's presence was not that much more Ein Sof, then the darkness would be interrupted by His presence. And if it's able to, and if the darkness could increase and Hashem is still protecting me, it means that the level of Hashem's presence in my life is that much more Ein Sofi, is that much more transcendent, that much more Tzadik Gomer. So Mikra Megillah is a celebration of the Tzadik Gomer that the Rabbanu Shalom is. Then we move on to Shalach Manas, Matanas Avyayim, and so on, and to this Purim. And then that same celebration of Tzadik Gomer moves from celebrating Hashem as the Tzadik Gomer to now celebrating Yidden as the Tzadik Gomer. And this is the real Avodah of Purim. This is the Avodah of Purim. It's not easy. The Avodah of Purim is to mamish be like to be in awe of a yid. But here's the nakuda: to be in awe of dafka a yid, that there's darkness and light at the same time in that person's life. Like usually, when you have when you have a yid that's a tzaddik, you know, that's like kulei tov, kulei good, that's a yid that you want to have a hiskashrus with, that you want to connect to. But a yid that's, you know, just a regular guy, when I say regular, it's probably mostly chayshech, and every once in a while he does mitzvahs, you know, he's still a Jew. So that's not someone that you necessarily have like, oh, I have to give a opinion to. You don't give a opinion to such a person, is it? The site of Purim, the chiddush of Purim is it 1 second. It's davka if this yid has so much chayshech inside of him, and despite the chayshech is not being interrupted and is not being undermined by the R that this person has, because again, we believe that every mitzvah is R. Every mitzvah is life. Which means that so usually when it's not Purim, when you have a yid who most of his life is involved with chayshech, and every once in a while he does a mitzvah. So how do we usually think of that person? Hey, he's a nice varf. He's not a good guy. Okay, once in a while he does something nice. The chiddush of Purim is 1 second. But every mitzvah is mamish lichtig. Simcha zuyantiv and so on. Mitzvahs are mamish lichtig. So how is it possible for a yid to do a mitzvah and he doesn't become kulayar? So when it's not Purim, the answer is, hey, maybe he didn't do the mitzvah right. But the site of Purim is, you know why he didn't become kulayar? Is because the light of his mitzvahs is so deep and so profound, it's so b'chinas tzadik gomor, that it doesn't interfere with the chayshech of his life. The fact that it didn't overtake the chayshech of his life is not a simon of how weak he is in his avodah, it's a simon of how deep his avodah is. And this is what the Gemara says, that on Purim, chayvin shabusim parad layoda, that every yid has the right and the responsibility to engage with Ra and coexist with it at the same time, b'chinas tzadik gomor. So when you give, so let's break it down. So you give Shalach Manas. You're giving Shalach Manas to the same people usually, right? So what's the Avodah Shalach Manas? The Avodah Shalach Manas is that I'm giving Shalach Manas. Why? Because I want to have a Iskashus with you. What is Iskashus? You're just, you're my neighbor, whatever. I see you all the time. All of a sudden now you're giving Iskashus. I want to have Iskashus with the Tzadik Hadar. I want to have Iskashus with you. The answer is, yeah. Do you have any idea? Why? Because your mom is a Tzadik Gomer. How do I know you're a Tzadik Gomer? Because there's a lot of light and there's a lot of darkness in your life. And the fact that there could be chayshech in your life at the same time as there's nekudas of light, it means your mom is a tzaddik gomer. It means that your mitzvahs, it doesn't mean that you're a tzaddik gomer again. It doesn't mean that everything, that the guy's a tzaddik gomer. It means that his whatever nekudas of avodah he has are shaloi ke'erech. It's an ein sof de ke'inyan. It's mamish, lamal miseder shalshlos. And because of that, his light does not interfere with his darkness. That's why in one moment he can say Lashon Hara, and the next moment, the same mouth, he can say Divrei Torah. So again, usually when it's not Purim, the reaction is, what type of, his Torah must be puzzle. On Purim, the answer is, no, Mamish, you know how deep his Torah is? His Torah is so deep that it didn't interfere with the Cheshech of his Lashon Hara. That's how deep it was. So when you give Shalach Manas, it's an avoid of it, the same way, like imagine giving, I'm not going to say the name, but you imagine whatever tzaddik it is that we're, you know, whatever tzaddik it is that you would want to have his kashrus with. When you give Shalach Manas to another yid, you do it like that. You give Matanas of Yoinim, it's a pidyon nefesh. You're giving a pidyon to a tzaddik. I have a tzaddik, what is this guy? Yeah, he's a tzaddik. I just saw him the other day, He goes to one guy with a whole sob story that his daughter needs to get married, and he goes to the next guy saying another story that his daughter was married and she needs whatever. It's like the story keeps on changing. So clearly the guy's So what's the Indian? So he's a tzaddik, yeah, mamash. Because with all that chayshach, he's a from yid. He those mitzvahs are mamash lichtig. That's Shalach Manas and Matanas of Yoinim. Then comes the Suda. What's the Suda? The Suda is thinking about this by yourself, which sometimes is the hardest. Sometimes it's one thing to think of another yid as a tzaddik gomer, but to think of it yourself, that's sometimes the hardest thing in the world. So the avodah of Simchas Purim is what? Is to sit and drink and to eat and be besimcha over the fact that mamish am a tzaddik gomer. It doesn't mean, again, not to think of it silly that you're a tzaddik gomer, but it means that my mitzvahs must be so deep and so shaloi ke'erech, so disproportionate with this world, that's why it doesn't interfere with the rest of my life. So why is it that when I learn Torah, it doesn't, the halacha is in Kachin, for example, if you have an animal, right, and you are Mekadesh, one limb of the animal as an oila or a chatas, whatever it is, so the halacha is that if you sanctify a limb or an organ, which is a vital organ, then the kedusha is mispashet over the whole animal. So if I'm a kaddish, an animal, and I say the heart of this goat, whatever it is, should be an oila, then the whole goat's an oila. I say that the lungs of this cow should be a chatas, the whole cow is a chatas. So you get ask a kashas, if I do mitzvahs, and you say kriyishma, b'chol avavcha, you know, b'chol nafshecha. So why is there no espashas of kedusha? Why don't I become like mamash tzaddik overnight? So again, outside of Purim, the answer is because you didn't do the mitzvah well enough. On Purim, the answer is because my mitzvahs are mamish like erech. My mitzvahs are mamish like, you know, it's a completely different inyan. It's like, it's not, you know, when it comes to an animal, so that heart is still of the same infrastructure as the rest of the body. It's just the most vital. But my mitzvahs are shalik erech. They're completely infinite compared to the rest of my life. That's why it doesn't interfere with the rest of my life. So I can still, not that I'm allowed to, but I a person can do whatever it is they do. It doesn't interfere. It's not changed by the mitzvahs. It's not... It's bar hamlin baruch mordechai and or haman the vasach is mamsh. This is why when you say that pasuk b'laylahu nadash nasa melech, the Maril said you raise your voice. See, when you raise your voice, two things are involved in raising one's voice. When you raise your voice, it's because the emotions that you're feeling are coming from a deeper place, and so it's coming from a much deeper place. There's a regular reading, you know. There's a regular level of emotional investment that you have in reading the Megillah, and then when you raise your voice, it means that you're tapping into somewhere deeper. And what's amazing is when you tap into somewhere deeper, then your voice travels further. So it's amazing when you're magbia koilai, that means that you're channeling and capturing this inyan of Lamal Miseder Shtalshus, outside of the regular infrastructure. There's a certain infrastructure, which is a level of emotional investment and the distance that my voice reaches. That's the infrastructure. There's, you know, and there's a beginning and there's an end to that. The site of Balailu Nadash Nasamelch, the site of Purim is Lamal Miseder Shtalshus, deeper and further. Deeper and further. And here's the point. The farther a Jew is, the more chutzah a Jew is, the more an indicator that his avoida is more pnimi. Again, you can't say this when it's not Purim, but that's the side of Purim, that that davka a yid that's at the far end. In order for the voice to get there, it has to come from a deeper place. So the deeper you go, the more chutz it's able to be manifest. The more chutzah something is found, the deeper it is. If you have a yid that's mamash chutzah and all he has are nekudas type, is points of good, points of light, adarabba, the reason why those points are not overtaking the person's life altogether is because they're deeper. This is why, let's go back, this is why there's such an inyan of being masmech gula l'gula. We want to connect Purim to Pesach. Why? You know, so. You know, one of the famous Torahs of Rav Nachman is Resh Pei Beis, right? So Resh Pei Beis, Rav Nachman says over there that if he just like a, you know, you have to judge a Jew favorably. If you don't call adam l'kaf s'chus. So what does it mean to judge a Jew favorably? So, okay, so step one is the guy goes into McDonald's, he's just using the bathroom. Stami's just using the bathroom, fine. He's not using the bathroom, he's online. Okay, maybe he's getting like a Coke. He's getting a Coke. Okay, fine. He's getting a cheeseburger. Maybe... I don't know. He's not going to eat it, right? He eats it. Maybe there is like a gun to his head. There's no gun to his head. So like, what are you supposed to do? So he ate a cheeseburger. So what does it mean to be down the kav schuz? So it says Rav Nachman, down the kav schuz means to focus on nekudas taivus. Taka, the guy's no good. There's a lot of choyshech in the guy's life, but at least there's nekudas taivus. You know, he's wearing his tzitzis while he's eating a cheeseburger, right? Like the Gemara says, you know, it's an amazing thing. The Gemara says in Brachis that a klal gadol b'Torah is b'chol derechecha de'ehu, that you should know Hashem in all your ways. So the Gemara says, what's an example? So the Gemara gives like a sarcastic example. In Pshat, the Gemara is being sarcastic. In Pnimius, it's mamish Purim. The Gemara says like a hu ganva that a ganef that's breaking into someone's home says a capital tilm that he should be matzliach. So b'chol derechecha, he's doing in all of his ways, he's calling out to Hashem. He's knowing, he's connecting to Hashem in all of his ways. So and again, a simple pshat the Gemara is like it's making a joke type. You know, he's davening he should be matzliach as a ganef. No, but the sight of that is that tefillah is that the pnimis of the yid is so deep, is so profound that it doesn't interrupt the chayshah. So says Rabbi Nachman, when you see a yid doing aveira, so what's the reaction? You have to be down the kav schlitz, you have to focus on the nekudas taivus. So pashrus, focus on just. But oimik, what we're saying is that those nekudas, the fact that they still remain as nekudas taivus and they don't overtake the person's life is an indicator of how deep those nekudas taivus are. And says Rabbi Nachman, by focusing on those nekudas taivus, you can then draw them out and allow them to be fully expressed. And when they're fully expressed, the person is altogether a different person. And from there, the person can become mamish, can experience their geula shleima. This is the site of Purim. Purim by itself is nekudas taivus. But if you focus on it and you bring it out, you can change. You can, like I said before, the revelation of Purim is so deep and so profound that it continues on even after Purim. So this is the site that Purim could, to be masmir gula gula, means that Purim continues. It's not the pshat that Purim ends and like, okay, now we go into the next yontif. Purim continues into Pesach, and it continues on. And Purim can turn into a gula shlema by focusing on those nekudas taivus. So that's the avodah of Purim, is to focus on the nekudas taivus and to realize that those nekudas taivus are fundamentally deeper than anything in the world. And of course, we don't want to remain with that choshech and or mishtam shen barvuvia. You want to highlight those nekudas taivus and give them full expression. And when those nekudas taivus express themselves in full, what emerges is a tzadik gomer kapshutai, mamash a tzadik gomer. Because that's his avoida was always bebechinat tzadik gomer. So you just needed to, you know, to highlight it and to bring it out. You know, b'chol derech achadei. Like that ganif that's davening, you know, as he's about to break into someone's home. So obviously, if you see such a thing, you should stop him. But I'm saying, you didn't stop him. So then what do you say? You say, his tefillahs are mamish, the deepest thing in the world. And when you tell him that, and even says Rabbi Nachman, when you think like that, then what happens? Then his koich of tefillah is given a voice, is given a stronger voice. And eventually, from there, he could become an emes tzadik, kipshutai. Just by realizing that he already has the building blocks of tzadik gomer, mamish tzadik gomer. And so this is what Purim is. You could turn Purim into a geula shlema by highlighting and focusing on this nekuda, on this inyan, which is that the Rabbanu Shloilam to us, as it gets darker and darker, the Rabbanu Shloilam's presence is even more deep. And by every single yid, every single yid's avoida, because of the choshech that they're involved in and they're stuck in, their avoida is that much deeper. And that's true for them. It's true for me. And by focusing on that, says Rabbi Nachman, you can sort of coax those flames into ignition, and the whole life of the person can be taken over by those nekudas taivus. And that's what it means when you connect Purim into Pesach. Pesach is not just the yontif. Pesach means gula. Pesach means a yontif of actually getting out of galus. Purim was akati avidach jerushana. So bimasmich gula gula, bimasmich Purim to Pesach means that Purim has the potential of mamish gula shleim within it, as long as we just bring out those nekudas taivus. And when those nekudas taivus are brought out, that's a gula shleim that's uninterrupted. It's uninterrupted, and it continues on forever. So Hashem should help us. We should to be mamish besimcha on Purim, and to be besimcha over ourselves, over our schus to have a connection with other yidden, and to have a schus with an even deeper connection to Rabbanu Shalom than ever before. Tavshin Pei Dalet is a deeper God than Tavshin Pei Gimel, than Tavshin Pei Beis, than going back to the beginning of creation. It's a deeper Rabbanu Shalom because of the Chayeshech, through the Chayeshech. Shrizech to experience the revelation of that truth, Bizgali, in an open and revealed way. Kavias Kol Tzedek, Meir V'Meinu Amen. Shekach. It has to be